Well, the nation of Israel is in mourning tonight. I'm sure that you have heard of the death of Ariel Sharon. Of course, Mr. Sharon was in a coma for 8 years. And just yesterday morning, I think it was, he passed away. And of course, the nation of Israel are now in mourning, and they're mourning the death of their leader. Well, in Psalm 40, we have the death of someone else. Someone else far greater than Ariel Sharon, someone far greater than any other person who has ever lived, because in Psalm 40, we have the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a wonderful picture of the Savior's death, and John has been singing about that tonight. He took my sins and my sorrows. He made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. We read there in Psalm 40, and if you go to the first verse, Psalm 40 and verse 1, notice what it says. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay. Now there you have a picture of the Lord Jesus going down into death for you and for me. At Calvary, the place that John has just sung about, the Lord Jesus went down into a horrible pit. He went down into the miry clay. The Lord Jesus Christ was dying on Calvary for the sins of the world. He wasn't dying for his own sins because he was sinless. He was different from everyone else. He didn't have a sinful nature. He had no sin within him. He was perfect and spotless, but he was dying for others and he was dying for you. And that's the good news of the gospel tonight. That the Lord Jesus Christ took your place and he became your substitute and he went down into death. He died for you. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It tells us just a few verses earlier in that chapter, but while we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. He died for each and every one of us tonight. You know, there's not only a picture here of the death of Christ, but thank God there's a picture in this psalm of the resurrection of Christ. Because it says, he brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Here we have God the Father raising his Son to life. Here's Easter. Easter is a great time of year. It's one of my favorite times of year. It's a time when we can celebrate the resurrection of Christ. And by the way, it really happened. It's literal. He did really rise. It was a bodily resurrection. Jesus really did defeat death. And here we have God the Father bringing Jesus, his beloved Son, up out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay. And you know, the Bible tells us the reason why Jesus was raised from the dead. Listen to it. Romans chapter 4, he was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. The Lord Jesus Christ was raised from the dead so that you and I could be justified before God. Now, maybe you're saying tonight, well, that word justification and justified, that's double Dutch to me. What on earth are you talking about? Well, think about it like this. The word justified, it literally means just as if I'd never sinned. You think about it like that. Just as if I'd never sinned. Now, I have sinned, and so have you. But the moment that we believe in Christ, the moment that we trust in Christ and what he did on the cross, God justifies us. God just wipes the slate clean. It doesn't matter what we've been involved in the past. It doesn't matter how much of a mess we have made of our lives. And doesn't matter how much people talk behind our backs. God promises to justify us. He promises just to remove the past, to blot it out. Now, how is it possible? How can a holy God blot out our sins? Well, it's because of the resurrection. It's because Jesus is alive. Wonder, are you justified tonight? Are you forgiven? Do you know what it is to be saved? Do you know what it is to be born again? But you know, in this psalm, we've not only got a picture of our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, but I believe we have a wonderful picture here of the experience of every Christian. Every person who has come to know Jesus, here is their life story, you could say, the story of the redeemed. First of all, I want you to notice that there's a description here of sinking. Verse 2, it tells us, he brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay. The idea here is of a prison. You see, in olden times, a pit was used as a prison. And the person was thrown down into this pit, and they couldn't get out. It was humanly impossible for them to make their way up out of the pit. But down in the bottom of the pit, it was filthy. It was grimy, it was disgusting, it was a horrible place, it was miry clay, we would say it was slimy, it was foul, it was vile. And the idea here is that the person is sinking. There's that much mire and that much dirt at the bottom, the person is sinking down into it. I suppose, you know, you could say it's a bit like quicksands. You know what quicksands are like? And, you know, if you're, I hope you're never as unfortunate to end up in the quicksands, but when you put your foot in the quicksands, you just sink. There's no footing. Well, the idea here is of a person who's sinking down into the mire. You know, if you're not a Christian tonight, that's a description of you, because you're sinking. You're going down. You know, the tragedy is that someday you'll sink so far, you'll go down so far that you'll end up in hell. That's the tragedy of it. That's the bad news tonight. You're sinking. And you know, every person who has ever been saved, there was a time when they were sinking. There was a time whenever they knew what it was to be going down. And you know, it's an awful feeling whenever you realize that you're sinking in sin and you're going down into hell, and the Holy Spirit shows you your great need. It's a terrible feeling, and you realize the great need that you're in. You're sinking. I suppose the tragedy is tonight that there's a whole lot of people in new buildings and a whole lot of people in our weak country, and they don't even realize that they're sinking. They don't realize that they're lost. They don't realize that they're perishing. But you know, that's the description that's given here of the person who's without Christ. They're sinking. But then, thank God, we have a picture of standing. There's not only the sinking here, but there's the standing, because in the same verse 2, it says that the Lord set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. There's the standing. Every person in this church tonight who is a Christian, there was a time when you were sinking, but thank God then the Lord reached you and then you were standing. The Lord set your feet upon the rock of ages, and you were no longer sinking, you were no longer in the quicksands of sin, but your feet were on the rock, Christ Jesus. It's good to be standing on the rock tonight, isn't it? You see, the thing about a rock is it'll never move. The thing about a rock is it can never sink. It's a firm foundation. And you know, the hymn writer put it like this: on Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Tell me tonight, are you standing on the rock of ages, or are you still sinking? Sinking, standing. Thank God they're singing. In this psalm, Psalm 40, they're singing, because in verse 3, it tells us, "And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God." The psalmist was singing to the Lord. He was singing praises to God, to the God of his salvation. And you know, whenever the Lord saves you, you will sing. Now, you mightn't be a good singer. You mightn't be a great singer like me. You mightn't be a beautiful singer like John. But when the Lord saves your soul, and when he lifts you out of the miry clay and he sets your feet on the rock, you will sing. You'll want to sing. You'll want to praise him. And that's what the psalmist does here. He sings to the God of his salvation. Again, you know, here we have a wonderful reference to the Savior. Because just before Jesus went to the cross, the Bible tells us that he sung a hymn. You can go home tonight and read it before you go to bed. Matthew chapter 26. The Lord Jesus was in the upper room with his disciples, and they were having communion. And whenever they left the upper room, it tells us that they made their way to the Garden of Gethsemane, and they sung a hymn. Jesus was singing. Isn't that amazing? On the very eve of his crucifixion, and he knew all that he was going to go through, he realized why he was dying. He knew the agony that lay ahead, but yet he was singing. He was actually singing a psalm. He was singing what's known as the Hallel, Psalm 113 to Psalm 118. We have sung a psalm tonight, Psalm 40. The Lord Jesus, before he went to the cross, he was singing. If you're a child of God, you'll be singing. There'll be a song in your heart if there's not a song on your lips. You'll have a song in here. There'll be joy in here as you realize and recognize that you're a child of God, that you're redeemed, that you're forgiven, that the past has been dealt with, and that, you know, nothing can ever be brought against you again. I don't know whether you've ever heard of Brownlow North. He was a preacher who came over to Ulster. He was used by the Lord in the 1859 revival. And you know, there was one occasion whenever Brownlow North was about to get up to preach, but there was a letter was delivered to him. Somebody passed this letter to him. And it was from a person who had knew him before he was converted. A person who knew the kind of life that Brownlow North lived before he became a Christian. And in that letter, you know what the person said? "How dare you get up and preach and speak to other people and talk to other people after the life that you have lived?" Well, I suppose most people would just have crumpled up the letter and put it in their pocket and said nothing. But you know what Brownlow North did that night as he got up to preach? He stood up, and he opened the letter, and he read the letter, and he said, "It's all true. What's in this letter about me is all true, but the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." You see, friends, there are people who will throw up things from the past. You're just going to get it. There's people who are going to criticize you, and they're going to put you down because of what you've been involved in the past. But hallelujah, tonight the gospel tells us that God deals with the past. He blots it all out. He removes every sin that has been committed, and God forgives every sin, and God forgets every sin. So don't worry if other people don't forget about your sins, and they don't let you forget about them. The important thing is that the Lord has forgotten about them. And you know, whenever you realize that God has forgotten about your past and He has forgiven you all that you've been guilty of, then you'll have a song in here. Singing. The psalmist was singing. Oh, we have a description here of the psalmist sinking and then standing and then singing. But finally, I believe we have a picture here of a Christian who's shining. There's the sinking, the standing, the singing, but thank God for the shining. In verse 3, it goes on to say, many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. You know, in Philippians chapter 2, in verse 15, it tells us that we are to shine in this world. Those of us who are saved, God has called us to shine for Him. Philippians chapter 2, verse 15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. You were sinking, but then the Lord reached down and lifted you, and then you were standing on the rock. And you're singing, but don't forget about the shining. Shine for Jesus. That's what the psalmist is speaking about here. He says, many shall see it and shall fear, and they'll trust in the Lord. They'll put their trust in the Lord. I tell you, whenever other people see that you have become a Christian, it'll make an impact upon them. When they see the change in your life, when they see the difference in your life that Christ has made, it will make an impression upon them. As they see you shining, it'll speak to them. I remember a short time before I was saved, just a couple of months before I came to the Lord, I remember my brother who was out every Saturday night, the two of us, we were in the pubs, the clubs, but the Lord reached him and saved him on the last night of a mission. And you know, I saw the change in his life. I saw him shining. And for, I suppose it was a month or a couple of months, I knew what I should do. I saw that my brother had been changed. I saw how that Christ had lifted him out of the miry clay, that he was standing on the rock of ages, that there was a song in his heart. And the change in his life really spoke to me. And then came that night. It was a Sunday night in April. At the end, after church, just in my own home, I did what my brother had done. But it was his shining that brought me to the Lord. It's a wee bit like a lighthouse, you know. Christians are to be lighthouses. Does a lighthouse make a noise? Does a lighthouse blast a horn? Is there a siren on a lighthouse? Not at all. There's no noise whatsoever. A lighthouse just shines. You know, friends, that's what the Lord calls us to do. We're living in a very dark world, a very sinful world. It's getting worse every day. Boy, it's, you know, you turn on the TV and You see some of the programs that are on and some of the plots and the themes and some of these programs, and it would make you sick, wouldn't it? What a terrible world we live in. And if ever there was a need for Christians to shine, it's today, it's now. Sinking, standing, singing, and shining. We'll turn to the final hymn. Number 387, 387, it's the hymn that we referred to earlier. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. 387, the first verse only and the chorus, please.
Let's start.